It's City Wrestling Radio, April 7th, 2024. I'm your host, Corey Smith, being joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Jose Oseguera. How are you today, sir?
Very good. Happy WrestleMania Day to you.
It is WrestleMania Sunday, and, well, WrestleMania 40 is now in the books. And, well, speaking of books, Cody has now finished his story by defeating Roman Reigns in the main event.
Good for you. Good for you.
What did you think of the night two overall, Jose?
Night two was a success. You'll hear no harsh criticism from me. I mean, I could be nitpicky, of course, but you know, let's just be happy for once and enjoy the show. A lot of emotional ups and downs, more ups than downs today. So I had a blast. It was a good show.
I went to night two with low expectations, I think, and not for every match on the card, but you know, I think a lot of those matches, like the Vinyl Testament, the Pride, LA Knight, and AJ Styles, those kinds of matches I wasn't really looking forward to. But after I got out of night two, I kind of like night two better than I like night one, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, let's get right into it.
One word of advice or warning to Mr. Tony Khan. Looks like somebody's learned how to book a pay-per-view or a PLE. So get to work, bro.
Well, here's the thing is like they're it's completely different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And WWE has now found the sweet spot in between good wrestling and storytelling. Whereas like, let's just be real here. Most wrestling fans aren't into wrestling for the wrestling. We're into it for this, like some of the wrestling, like that's cool, but like it's mostly the storylines that brings most people in. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So that's what gets people invested.
Yeah. We like to be brought on the ride and on the roller coaster. My whole point is that it feels like WWE now has learned how to do a proper PLE, you know, full of excitement and emotion. Storytelling, of course, wrestling being the major part of that. So congrats, tip of the hat for these guys.
Well, we're now in the Triple H, Paul Triple H Levesque era.
Is that what we're calling it? I guess so.
That was like the entire night. You know, they're just kind of saying this is the Paul Triple H Levesque era, you know, trying to completely make people think like, just so you guys know, McMahon has nothing to do with this company anymore.
Yeah. Even though his daughter came out at the beginning, smoke and mirrors. She's married to the guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Cody Rhodes thanking him at the end, all of this stuff. So it was kind of funny when I looked at it like that. But nonetheless, it kicked off with the band The War and Treaty performing God Bless America. And my God.
Hell of a rendition.
Jesus Christ. These guys. They are going to be doing the Super Bowl. They're going to be making big money after everything. They were the most soulful thing in all of Philadelphia on a Sunday night. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, especially at pro wrestling event.
So then we kicked it off with the first match of the night, Drew McIntyre. So the first match of the night, we saw Drew McIntyre defeating Seth Rollins to win the World Heavyweight Championship. After that, Damian Priest cashes in to, you know, defeat Drew to win the world title. So technically two separate title changes in one night. What did you think of this match? Also, what did you think of Damian Priest cashing in, Jose?
A little bit surprised that this was the opener. I wasn't expecting that. So glad that it was. It was a solid match wrestling-wise. It was very solid story-wise, storyline-wise. And that little added extra surprise, even though we knew it was coming, you never know. You never know. It was a really cool surprise. And it just, you know, I have in my notes, priest. So happy this turned out the way it did. Really cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. The match itself, I mean, it was a good match from start to finish. It was super exciting. It's also good to see that title change hands, because ever since Seth has been given that title, won the tournament. Ever since he won it in a tournament, it hasn't changed hands. Yeah, so almost a year. To see it change hands twice in one night is kind of cool. It makes you think that anything could happen at any time. Also, you know, Drew finally got his moment in front of 73,000 or 72,000 and taken away from him very quickly. So.
Yeah, yeah. It, a really cool moment before we, I mean, we're going to get to it, but is when he held the belt in front of Punk's face. He was like, take a picture of this. I want to put it up in my bedroom.
Well, he, yeah, man. So it's also good to see Damian Priest win the title because it's good to see them going with someone new. It's, this is somebody who's never won the world title before, and they're putting their stamp saying, okay, let's try something new with him. You know, so that's, it's good to see WWE investing in the future in the main event scene, not just, you know, lower level in NXT or, you know, in the mid card. So,
yeah,
this is a match of just Claymore after Claymore after Claymore after Claymore.
Yeah,
because there was a lot of Claymores in this match. Drew comes out to a band of people playing bagpipes, and Seth comes out to what somebody described to me as neon futuristic Aztec warrior dancers.
That sounds about right to me.
Performing his theme song. But apparently this is like some tradition in Philadelphia, like what they were wearing.
Yeah, it's like a New Year's Eve thing, right? Or New Year's Day.
I've heard of the Mardi Gras stuff. You know, I've seen floats and stuff from that. I kind of get down with that, but I've never seen this weird Philadelphia New Year's Eve Mardi Gras.
I've never seen it in Rocky or the movie Philadelphia. And,
yeah, and I've never, like, you think I would have seen it in, like, and it's always sunny in Philadelphia. You think they would have made Why have we not had It's Always Sunny Philadelphia on this yet? So, Drew goes for a Claymore right as the bell rings, and, you know, Drew... Seth kicks out. Drew goes for a Future Shock DDT. Eventually, Seth reverses into a pedigree on the outside, seemingly hurting his knee as he's going down. Seth, though, not really selling too much, I don't think, from the night before. He just kind of has some tape on his back, and that's about it.
Well, the knee was the point of concern, and it looks like Drew went straight for it early on. So we saw the knee be a big factor in the match.
Drew went for a Claymore, but Seth catches him, hits Drew with a powerbomb, then hits him with a pedigree, followed by a stomp. The entire match, Drew is just taunting Punk, who is outside on commentary. Seth hits Drew with a stomp on the table on the outside. Seth tosses Drew back in the ring. And we have two Claymores to Seth Rollins right after Drew pops up. After receiving a stomp on the table, which again, what was that?
Ten Claymores.
It's got to be around there.
Yeah.
But like I said, he gets rolled back in the ring. He pops right back up, hits two Claymores, and pins Seth Rollins to win the World Heavyweight title. And then he goes outside and celebrates with, I guess, his wife or his girlfriend or fiance outside. Holding the title, taking pictures, and then he goes and taunts CM Punk again for like a good 2 to 3 minutes. And then apparently CM Punk isn't as injured as we thought and strikes Drew, takes him out. Damian Priest rushes out with his Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes in, hits the South of Heaven on Drew McIntyre and becomes the new world champion. So, like I said, good on them to put the title on Damian Priest, somebody who's never won before. So we'll see what happens, especially now. I believe Cody is going to be the champion on SmackDown, and you know Priest will be the champion on Raw. So.
Yeah, makes sense.
Next up, we have The Pride defeating the Final Testament in what was seemingly a nod to Philadelphia's extreme past. I don't know. I don't think it really disappointed. I thought this was a pretty damn good hardcore match, but street fight match. It was a little weird when AOP just kind of disappeared for like a good 15 minutes of the match.
Yeah, was that all about? Yeah.
But what did you think of this this six-man tag? Do you think it outperformed yesterday's six-man tag match?
Wow, that's a hard question. I wouldn't say outperformed, but I would say it performed up to the capacity of today. Yesterday, it was in desperate need of that ladder match, so it kind of played a very important part in day one. this one did not play an important part in day two, but was it a better match overall compared
to the LWO?
Compared to the LWO, blows it out of the water. Blows it out of the water.
Well, here's the thing is I went into this match like kind of having pretty low expectations for this match because I didn't really care. Like Karrion Kross and the Final Testament. When the match starts, we are notified. Apparently, Bubba Ray Dudley has been named the special guest referee.
Did they go by Bubba? I failed to notice. Did they say Bubba or did they say Bully?
They said Bubba.
Okay.
Bubba Ray Dudley named the special guest referee. Snoop Dogg is doing commentary. Snoop Dogg.
Did I tell you Meek Mill wasn't going to show up? Was I talking to you about that?
That was him in the intro.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the only part that was pre-recorded, but they made it seem to believe that he was going to show up and do like a performance or something.
Right.
Never showed up.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
there's reasons and there's internet reasons for that. Yeah.
Yes. So, like I said, Snoop Dogg doing commentary. He's really good on commentary. Not gonna lie. He's
better than Pat McAfee. Like,
he's sitting there like, so you're saying these guys have animosity. So they have the upper hand on them. Like they should be watching out. Okay. Like Snoop is just like, it's like, man, you really know exactly what you're doing. That's awesome. At one point in this match, though, Kross gets in the face of Bubba Ray, and Bubba just puts on his ECW glasses, and they have a stare down. The Pride does the was up to Karrion Kross. The Pride then does the table spot, and like, I think when they said get the tables, everybody in the arena screamed at the top of their lungs. It was probably the loudest I heard the crowd both nights.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what is it with fucking people and tables?
Philly, you get it, but like in a place like, you know, Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's everywhere, but everywhere, everybody pops for tables. I don't know why.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
They set Kross up on a table, but it breaks before anyone does anything because it was like, it's funny because it breaks right where it's like pre-cut. It breaks right in the middle. I'm just like,
yeah, and the legs break and the wood breaks. Oh no.
So they get another table. Montez hits a frog splash to Kross, and Lashley gets the pin and the win.
No harm, no foul.
Good match. Next up, LA Knight defeating AJ Styles. I mean, I don't know. This is a decent match. I don't know. It wasn't like the best match of the night by any means, but I definitely didn't think it was a horrible match. What did you think?
You know, it was a C. It was satisfactory.
It's like when somebody gives you a tomato sandwich. You're like, do you like that tomato sandwich? And you're like, well, I don't like it, but you know,
I guess the mayo was a nice touch, but it needed mustard. Yeah,
you could have added some salt and pepper to it. I don't know.
Where's the meat?
At least it didn't look as bad as their interactions at the WWE World.
Yeah, and don't these guys have experience in TNA doing a program together?
I mean, I don't know if they did. I have no idea.
Yeah.
AJ comes out to brand new music. What did you think of that new song of his?
I like the old one, but this is cool. Yeah, I don't hate it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more falls in line with kind of how Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson have their music, a little bit more heavy metal. Not as heavy as like as Rhea or anything like that.
Yeah, and his other face, you know, the You Don't Want None, that's very it's very facey, very good guy, maybe very, you know, upbeat tempo, and he's supposed to be a bad guy now.
Yeah. AJ springboard to AJ Styles at one point, electric chair to LA Knight into the turnbuckle. LA beats down on AJ on the top turnbuckle, and he continues, and then he starts biting the head of AJ Styles.
Hey, that's not very facey of you.
At least you didn't have a 102 degree temperature, you know.
That's true.
Avalanche German suplex to AJ. AJ begins working the knee of LA Knight. Then he goes for a calf crusher after he begins slamming LA Knight's knee into the ring post multiple times. LA then rips the padding off the floor. He goes for a powerbomb, but AJ reverses into a back body drop. AJ then goes for a 450 splash, but LA reverses, gets his knees up. Both men tease their finisher, and then eventually we have the BFT to AJ Styles, the pin and the win. So it's kind of how we expected it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Any thoughts on this? Anything you want to add on this match?
Yeah, LA Knight, what's next for him? Probably not much. AJ Styles, he can go anywhere. He can do anything. He's on SmackDown. He could actually start a program with Cody in maybe, you know, a couple months.
Yeah. I think that would probably be a good program for, you know, the net going forward is having him and Cody.
Listen, AJ, put over this Knight kid and I'll give you a shot at Cody.
Especially because, you know, we know AJ's probably not going to go over, and we don't want to put somebody up like Gunther against Cody, who Gunther, like, you would kind of, people are going to kind of want him to win.
Oh, I have plans for Gunther.
And also, like, Cody's reign isn't going to be like Roman's reign.
No.
Like Roman Reigns' reign, you know?
We'll be lucky to see him with the title come December.
Honestly, I think, you know, he could lose it at SummerSlam. He could lose it whenever. And I think having him lose it at some random pay-per-view eventually, you know, like mm-hmm. coming September or something like that, it would probably be a smart idea just to kind of, or when Raw goes to Netflix, have it be on the first episode. He can lose the title there, kind of. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen at any time. So
yeah, shocking. Yeah, totally.
Then we get the announcement that the King and Queen of the Ring is going to be May 25th. Then we have the Hall of Fame class of 2024 segment where they just kind of trot them out, and you know, Paul Heyman came out to his ECW music again. And
dude, yeah. This has to be the intermission because it's the longest break of the night and it's taking forever. I could have taken two showers in this time.
Yeah, it's funny too because the pay-per-view wasn't long at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like at all. For one night of WrestleMania, 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Because it was a break. And then, you know how they do that thing where non-super ultimate premium subscribers, they get to the background. For those of you guys that only have maybe middle superior premium, you don't get it. You get commercials. So we got double commercials.
Yeah, we maybe get triple commercials for Papa John's or not Papa John's, but those pizza muffins.
Dude, that's crazy, right? Only $4 for four.
$4 for four. All right. That's City Wrestling Radio. I got to go by.
That was the whole hook of the commercial. Christ. We got to go now.
Oh, if they want to sponsor our show, I'll definitely plug them here. So,
yeah.
Next up, Logan Paul defeating Kevin Owens and RKO. That's Randy Orton, Randall Keith Orton, to retain his United States title. What did you think of this match, Jose? And who do you think is going to be the one to eventually dethrone Logan Paul?
Okay. Few things. Number one, we've seen this match before. We've seen this match every time when it comes to Logan Paul. Guy in a suit helps out, brass knucks.
And it's always somebody that we have no idea who it is.
Yeah,
and
I show speed. Who the hell is I show speed? My kids popped. They were like, oh, look, it's speed. It's I show speed. I'm like, who is this? Oh, man. Well, get off my lawn.
It's like okay. That. Do you remember that that thing from Family Guy where they're like, welcome back to the Kids Choice Awards Nickelodeon with Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, and then they start just like randomly making up names to like make everyone think they're getting older? And because I literally was like, wait, I don't know that person. I don't know. Who is that? Who is that? And they were like, oh, by the way, those are all fake.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of felt like that. Yeah. Because I don't know who the fuck this guy is. I show speed. And before it was KSI.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who he is. I know I'm old. Yeah. But
streamers. I mean, I would much rather watch an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm instead of watching YouTube shorts all day. So who is going to dethrone Paul? I have a perfect person. A returning face, Gunther.
You think so?
He'll take a little break, very small, maybe a month, maybe two, just enough to make people forget about him, and then he'll make a surprise appearance on SmackDown after he, you know, goes through this whole thing with what's his crew called? Imperium, after he, you know, separates with those Imperium nerds, and he'll show up on SmackDown, and he's ripe for the pickings for the fans. The fans want to cheer him. I want to cheer him.
Yeah.
Perfect opportunities to put him up against Logan Paul, and he takes the title away from him.
I mean, I do think eventually it's going to be LA Knight to dethrone, but to add to your Gunther fantasy booking, I will double down on this and say only if Gunther wins the US title, but then like fully lays into the American stereotype. Like, I want to see him wearing a cowboy hat with a cowboy shirt tucked into his pants. I want to see him accent, doing like trying to do like doing a fake American accent, going to Coney Island on 4th of July, like riding, like doing rodeo stuff, you know, just whatever else Americans we do that is obnoxious. I want to see him do it.
Oh yeah, but he lost all that weight. He lost all that weight. You don't want him gaining it back.
Ah, he could work out harder. I'm sure he's fine. He doesn't have to like eat the hot dogs. I'm just go to the you know, the thing, you know, just be like, oh, the smell of hot dogs and dipped in water in the morning makes
deep fried Snickers delicious.
Exactly, exactly. So I want to see all of that. Kind of similar to like when in that movie Borat. But it's Gunther, with like a red, white, and blue, like with the, like a red, white, and blue ruffle shirt, like basically the shirt Lex Luger had on at one point walking into Nitro. But I want it red, white, and blue.
We're pushing Vince territory now. Okay, so back to the match.
like I said, despite the stupid interference by someone who I have no idea who was. It was a good match, you know, especially with the spots with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. So to start this match, I love how Kevin Owens comes out. He comes out in a golf cart,
mocking that monster truck, that Logan stupid Walker. Drink.
Yeah, the Prime. I love what's his name? Pat McAfee goes, "Oh my god, that's the biggest truck I've ever seen." They're like, "This is the biggest bottle we've ever seen." He's like, what I think I meant.
You're the biggest douchebag I've ever seen. God.
So Kevin Owens comes out on a golf cart, and then he's at like the beginning of the ring, and then out comes Randy Orton, who starts to come out, and Kevin Owens reverses the golf cart all the way back up the ramp to pick up Randy Orton. And then they drive back down, and Randy, you could tell, because he leans over at one point and goes, "Hey, slow down." Because he's going way too fast.
Yes, he is. Oh my god, he went faster than when he was by himself.
And I thought that was pretty great because you could tell Randy's trying to like brace the stop. You know?
Yeah, he leaned into it. Yeah.
But this is mostly a standard WWE three-way match. You know, one person on one versus one on one. But they did have KO and Randy Orton focusing on Logan Paul most of the match. Anytime Logan would try to get them to fight each other at the beginning, they wouldn't. They would just keep going after Logan. But the two eventually broke down and started fighting each other. Logan does hit a nice swanton into a standing frog splash in this match to both men. Mm-hmm. Back and forth uppercuts between Logan and Randy. Logan Paul tried to go for a buckshot Larry. It almost seemed like his leg buckled underneath him. Randy caught him and hit a power slam to Logan Paul. Double guillotine DDT to both Logan Paul and KO. At one point, Logan pulls out some brass knucks. Eventually knocks out Randy Orton with the knucks. Owens gets the shot with the brass knucks too. Logan Paul then picks up Randy Orton to go for another brass knucks shot, but Randy hits the RKO out of nowhere. And then Randy just like, he has the brass knuckles, but he gives them to the referee because he's such a good guy now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Randy, you're Randy Orton. Come on, man. Like, that's not Randy Orton. That's not the Randy Orton I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Then, like I said, the person in the Prime bottle pulls Logan Paul out of the ring. We're supposed to know who this is, but what was his name? I show speed. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okie dokie. Yeah. Kevin then goes for a pop-up power bomb Randy Orton, but Randy Orton hits Kevin with an RKO. Logan eventually ends up throwing Randy out of the ring, hitting a frog splash to KO, the pin, and the win. So he retained.
You know, a little message to WWE loyalists that complain about AEW and how, oh, everybody kicks out from finishers. Everybody kicks out from finishers. Tonight, this Mania, it was kick out from finisher central. It happened.
Oh, yeah, every match.
So yeah. You might want to pump the brakes next time you criticize something, bro.
Well, it was the 10 claymores to start the show too. You know?
Exactly. Oh, and the curb stomps. But I mean, the curb stomps you can forgive because he was giving them on a bum knee.
The pedigrees.
He landed on a bum knee. That makes sense. I'll let that slide. I'll let you know personally. I let it all slide because I love a good kick out after a finisher. Always have.
Yeah.
But some people they figure they want to make an argument against AEW. So they use this as fodder. So just so you guys know, it happens here too. And it happened a lot here at Mania.
Yeah. All in all, though, a good match between the three men. See what happens with both Randy Orton and Kevin Owens going forward. So, yeah. Next up, Bayley defeating Io Sky to become the new WWE Women's Champion. Hey, this is a decent match, I thought, you know.
I thought it was damn good. I thought it was a damn good match.
You thought it was a good match?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. Except for the beginning, Io Sky, I keep wanting to say Shirai. Io Sky, she came off a bit nervous, you know, first time on a big stage like this, especially defending a title, knowing she had to show out. Bayley, you know, took control of the situation. She was the ring general in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, she helped bring Io down, and they had a great match right after that.
Yeah, the one thing I did notice is, like, you know, Bayley just seemed a little bit like she was really over with the crowd, and the Bay Area got a lot of shout outs in this match, which I thought was kind of weird. Yeah. Like a lot of shout outs, like they were mentioning Parks in like the middle of San Jose. I was like, what?
Like, well, because it's Egyptian themed, that's why she came up with this idea. Is that
that's what they're saying. So Bayley had an Egyptian themed entrance, and Corey Graves says, it's because Bayley grew up near a park in San Jose that was like Egyptian themed, and then eventually he names it. I'd never seen the park.
Yeah,
but what I thought it was at first, because there was like a Mania years ago where Triple H came out. And he had a bunch of the women from NXT like holding the throne as he was coming.
I don't know if Bayley was there, but it was definitely Sasha. I know
Sasha and Charlotte.
Alexa Bliss was there too, and Charlotte. Yeah.
So I thought it was a kind of a nod to that, but you know, we'll see.
There are two things could be true.
Yeah. There was a nice twisting side slam to Io Sky. Sunset flipped Io Sky into the turnbuckle. Io rolls through for a German suplex to Bayley. Bayley climbs up to the top rope and then misses with an elbow as Io catches her to lock in a cross face. We finally see a Bayley to Belly, the returning Bayley to Belly, a move we haven't seen in a long time.
I marked that for that. Yep.
To Io. Double underhook, backbreaker to Bayley. Io hits Bayley with a big moonsault, but Bayley kicks out, leading to Io hitting a series of salts
really cool
off the ropes, but she does miss the third one. Sky then gets hit with the rope, or sorry, she misses or sorry, reverses,
she reverses the rope. Yeah, it looked really good.
Back suplex to Sky. Bayley then gets on the top rope, hits the elbow drop, rose plant, and the pin and the win. And Bayley becomes your new champion. So,
Bayley, do you want to be my girl?
So, I mean, it's cool to see. I was kind of hoping she would lean back more into her face care, because her character right now is like still kind of heelish. Like even in the press conference afterwards, she's like, I didn't know if the fans would like still like me for calling them idiots. Like some of like they are idiots sometimes, but I'm an idiot too, so it's all good.
We're all idiots, yeah.
I was like, okay, Bayley, sure, you got it. Like
I was holding out hope that we see the, you know, the funny inflatable guys come out just one more time for Mania. But
I was hoping, yeah, I was hoping that she would come out to her theme song and then she would say like no, and then go back and they would play her old theme song, and then yeah, the two men would go up and, you know, everyone would have had fun. But no,
yeah,
I guess Bailey has completely moved on from that character 1000%.
Yeah, and you know what? There's something to be said about Bailey winning. It kind of brings it doubt going into this next match, because you're thinking, okay, well, we just had a really feel-good moment and a title change. We've seen title change after title change after title change. It's looking grim for Cody. It, you know, if they're doing this much, he might not win this. He might not get the title.
There was a lot of titles. One title changed twice.
Yes. You know? Yes.
So, I mean, going into the main event, Cody Rhodes defeating Roman Reigns to become the WWE champion. So the story of this match, I mean, was just the Bloodline Rules situation, which I don't know. I felt like they could have done more with this, you know? Like, they're just like, it's no DQ. It's no count, whatever. Yeah. Like, the match last night felt like it had more of, like, a special stipulation with The Rock being like, I'm on the board, I can do whatever I want, rather than this that was just like, oh, no DQ.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but imagine if they did the whole thing all over again. Then you're just saying, oh, we saw this last night. Do we really need to see this again? I actually thought that the match reached a really good balance between actual wrestling, not too much DQ stuff. Not that okay, the run-ins, they were put in the perfect slot and not overdone. Like, people weren't just wrestling or fighting each other for 30 minutes inside the ring alongside Cody and Roman, right?
I felt like this was an overbooked, like, just seriously overbooked. But anyways,
it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, it was supposed to be Avengers versus Thanos. It was supposed to be
Endgame.
Yeah, Clash of the Clans, you know. But I'm glad that they took more of a subtle approach with it, especially having it the majority one-on-one.
Yeah.
Roman and Cody. That, I think that's what made it, that's what balanced it out in a good way.
Yeah. So in this match, you know, they had a lot of back and forth. I could read my notes, but, you know, I'm just going to go off my memory. You know, so what happened was eventually there was one point where Rhodes goes for multiple crossroads to, well, let's talk about his entrance first. He came out to the ring with the skull.
Really cool.
Like the American Nightmare skull. That's kind of cool.
It's his tattoo. Mm-hmm.
Brandi Rhodes made an appearance to get the skull.
That was cool. I told the wife, look, there goes Brandi. She's like, oh, I love her.
Roman comes out being played by like the public schools orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
They were okay, I guess.
You cool, know? I guess. Yeah, good touch, I guess. You know, supporting the local youth.
There you go. So eventually, at one point, Cody Rhodes goes for he's trying to go for the three amigo kind of crossroads situation, but he hits one crossroads. He goes for a second one. He gets super kicked by Jimmy Uso, and that was another thing. Like, when we were explained what Bloodline Rules were, like, Rock was like, hey, Jimmy could be the special guest referee. You know, we could have this. We could have a special guest timekeeper. And didn't do any of that. So
yeah, it's because he said all that on the spot. Yeah. They didn't plan that out really, very well.
And so they're beating down on Cody. Then Jey Uso's music hits. He comes out. Jey and Jimmy battle on the ramp. Jey spears Jimmy off the ramp into a padded area, gimmicked area. Then eventually, it's kind of the same spot. Cody goes for the double crossroads again. He's going for that third one. And then Solo Sikoa comes out and gives him the dreaded Samoan thumb. And he kicks out, though. And then Roman hits the spear spike combo from him and Solo. Kicks out yet again. John Cena makes his return, comes out to beat him Solo. He comes out, he hits also Roman with an AA, which is like, all right, cool. Like, thanks, Cena. And then he's beaten down on Solo. That's when The Rock comes down, literally lays John Cena out like that. John Cena, like, he lost all of his power, I feel like. He gets his ass kicked all the time now.
All the time, yeah.
So he gets laid out with a rock bottom, and then we hear the dong, lights go out. Undertaker,
that was a surprise.
It was a surprise, yes. Then he choke slams the Rock, gets him out of there. Lights go out again, and then Undertaker and the Rock are just gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, then eventually we have Cody hitting his three crossroads to Roman Reigns and pinning him and beating him to become the new undisputed champion.
Hooray! So,
yeah, I mean, good for him. It was kind of like one of those things, like, oh, thank God.
Whew. Yeah.
Because when they count that three, people were like, oh my God, it happened. It happened.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Whew. Let's move on now. Because it was kind of like, it was overbooked to hell, but like, it's kind of what we all needed that. You know, we all needed a fun ride just to get where we should have been a year ago.
Yeah, totally.
And the fact that he was taken away from him a year ago and he gets his moment now. That's pretty cool. So
it did overrun a little bit for me. At the end, there was too much celebration. They could have, you know, sent it to credits way before that. There was just too much handshake, too many handshakes. What was CM Punk doing up there seeking limelight? Nobody likes you, bro.
People like him. Well, I saw him in the comment. People like him in the comments, Jose. Okay.
My bad, guys.
No, it's fine. You say what you want, but
yeah, we'll see what happens Wednesday. We'll see what happens Wednesday.
We will. So overall, like, I'm hearing people thinking, like, saying this is like the best WrestleMania ever. Do you think so?
I don't. It depends what happens after this. If this is indeed a page turning WrestleMania where we're going to get the Renaissance, if we're going to get something that's, you know, pop culture changing after this, then yes, it is there. But if we get SOP standard operating procedures after this, then no, it's just a really good WrestleMania. It's not the best. It's the biggest. Definitely the biggest.
Yeah. So what do you expect going into the Raw after Mania?
You know what? I don't want to expect anything. I want to go there with a clean slate. I hope they're doing the same. I'm expecting maybe a little bit of a power struggle between Rhea and Priest.
Okay.
I'm expecting the Bloodline story to take a little bit of a break, maybe a week or two before we see Roman come back to major pop.
I heard Roman's taking like legit, like real time off.
Yeah, well, and according to the presser, and according to Paul Levesque, we're gonna see with Roman Reigns is gonna be really amazing and really, what do you use to describe it? I don't know.
It's supposedly
gonna be something nobody expects and life changing to all of us for some reason.
Well, here's one thing: is I've been hearing murmurs. Mm-hmm. Of Jacob Fatu possibly signing with WWE.
Yeah. I heard that that's like weeks done. Like it's been done already for a while.
Like he's apparently sticking around in Philadelphia despite being pulled from a GCW show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe he'll show up tomorrow night on Raw.
Yeah, one can only hope.
You know, maybe we'll come out. Maybe we'll see The Rock come out with Jimmy Uso and Solo without Roman. And he'll introduce maybe some new members of the Bloodline. Maybe, you know, Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be actually kind of cool. Like, my cousin's away, Rock saying Roman's away. He couldn't get the job done, so I'm running the Bloodline now. It's mine. I'm the new, you know, head of the class, head of the table.
Head of the table, yeah.
Head of the table.
I'm the head of the class, Roman.
Give us the teacher an dunce apple. Cap. Yeah. And he puts together his own Bloodline. That'd be cool.
So we'll see what happens after Raw. Anything else you want to add about WrestleMania?
WrestleMania was fun. I had a good time. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Paul Triple H Levesque. I appreciate it. That was one thing too. They kept talking about Triple H.
Why did they bring up Bruce Pritchard?
Yeah.
Well, why? Nobody cares about Brother Love.
You know, we completely skipped over Stephanie McMahon at the beginning.
Oh, yes. Well, I kind of touched on it a little bit. Made fun of her.
That was pretty shocking to have I see her come out.
Yeah.
All right. let's get out of here. Until next time, we will be here after. Well, we'll do another show this week talking about the Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
So Mania for City, Wrestling Radio, I'm Corey Smith.
I am long-winded.
And we will see you next time. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.